Good afternoon, and welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Who's our sponsor, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor today on
really?
This hour. Yeah, it's Pape Machinery.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What do they do?
Well, they're our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Thank you for asking. And they handle everything ag and turf, tractors, mowers, tillers, you name it. And they've got it. Also, they're a steel dealer now. You can go by and get your weed eaters and chainsaws and hedge trimmers, all that stuff they have in stock, and also your Honda generators. You can go by. That season's right around the corner, and they're stocked up and ready to go. Go by and see them at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Boom.
Boom. There you go.
Yeah, and for heaven's sakes, if you have a lot of grass near your house, there's a house at the end of the street, and I think in the last week it's grown 2 feet.
Yeah.
Two feet.
Get it cut.
And it's green, so you could cut it now, but I'm guessing in about a week it'll be all brown, you'll light a fire.
Well,
so
about the 1st of June, you're all done mowing. You got to put your mower away.
Oh, hey, hot tip here. Here's a little inside dope. Whatever you do, if you live near Forest Service land, don't light a fire because word on the street is the regional forest guy out of Vallejo has instructed the Forest Service that they can only have one person per vehicle.
Oh, yeah,
this fire season.
The corona threat.
Yeah. They can only have one person per vehicle, so wildland fire, you're going to have like 400 cars. I don't know.
Yeah, everybody be walking. Drives there in their own car.
They'll be walking for days.
So a fire truck can't wheel up with 10 guys in it anymore. We're going to have 10 cars.
Anyway, there's a lot of stupidity going on out there. And so,
parking assistant.
Do not put yourself in danger.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us, back to seriousness. Today is April 26, 2020, just to give it some context. Still playing footsie with the Wuhan virus and all that goes with it. But businesses are reopening. People are getting annoyed, and they're ready to go back to work. And places that don't have big outbreaks are wondering why their hospital is closed with no humans in it. And rural hospitals are going broke because they have no humans in them. So they're waiting for people who are sick, but they're not there, so they need to reopen to normal stuff. I've got people, you know, I think we're all speaking with all these folks. They had a knee surgery scheduled. They had all these things scheduled. Spoke to a dentist here in our town who, after being closed now for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, he said when May starts, he will be over 5,000 dental appointments behind. He has 26 hygienists and 3 dentists that work in there, and he said we're over 5,000 appointments behind, and you can't just push out the other people because they're already scheduled for May and June and July like we all do with dentistry. You know, we're in there every 6 months or so. So I don't think people are going to go for the let's close for a whole lot longer, and we're kind of seeing that everywhere.
No, we're starting to see people going back to work. I mean, you can only keep people locked up for so long, and then
everybody starts to malfunction.
It's chaos.
Pure chaos. So anyway, that'll be interesting going forward. And another thing, we've been talking to cattle ranchers and stuff around here, and because the processing plants have been closed, you're kind of starting to hear this in the media a little bit, but they're expecting some interruption in the beef production and also pork production, because some of those all those processing plants are closed. So we just, stockpiled a little bacon yesterday just in case, because, you can freeze it. And
we all
know what it's like when there's no bacon available. Everybody starts to freak out.
Yeah, you can run out of bread, you can run out of potatoes, but you don't want to run out of bacon.
Bacon and toilet paper.
Yeah.
So
you can go a long time.
So far, no interruption in toilet paper. We were in Costco yesterday, and it was like the size of a small house in the back there.
Some people hoard silver. You know, that's great, but I'll tell you what, a pound of bacon will get you a long way.
Exactly. The currency of the future is bacon.
Is bacon.
So anyway, just kind of pay attention to that. And if you have a freezer, you might do a little extra shopping and just lay some stuff in so that you're not, putting a crush on the system.
Yeah.
Leave that for the other folks that didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
People who listen to our show usually pay attention.
Yeah.
And let's see. That is all. You can find all the stuff about our show at wethepeopleradio.us, and we keep giving you that so that you can go and look at some of the data that we post with a lot of these shows. We have a tab up top marked China. We've done a bunch of shows over the last year and a half on China with a lot of supporting information, and many of the things that our guests have told us have been things that just recently came out in the media, although we were talking about it in February. that the WHO was wholly controlled by China. What was the other thing we were just talking about on the break? There was something else that you...
I don't know.
This is your co-host duty, Bill. You're going to get a co-host demerit. There was something else we were thinking about, and Eureka, we'll think of it. But you had told us quite a while ago, and we thought, gee, we're way ahead of the curve here. So you should definitely listen to our program, and then later when you watch the news, you'll be like, oh, I already knew that. How silly. So our guest, Eureka Young, came to the United States from China as a college student in 1988. He works in, I don't know, Eureka, is it fair to say you work in information technology? Or
yes, yep.
Is that it? But you're an engineer. I mean, you're not.
I'm not in, I was involved in information, mostly real-time information technology, so to process, for I have been like a consultant for I had been a consultant, an independent consultant for like over a decade or so, and
good for
consulting
you.
On like the streamed financial data and also news profiling, like news, real time sports news, finance news, and all that. And currently, I'm working with auto, like an insurance company in auto insurance, and this is an industry where it is not severely impacted by the outbreak of the coronavirus, and the companies are in the industry is returning 20% premium for a few months, that we have seen very little car accident, very few car accidents.
Yeah, because instead of miles to get to the gallon, we're going, what I saw one the other day, my car's getting 3 weeks to the gallon.
Right. So the a major expense for insurance companies is like a claims, the claims centers that they're paying out. I think I'm with from like those who are in the numbers, like in corporate finance. See, the financial consulting that the clients that I'm working with, they are in macro area. So I do not have any knowledge about corporate finance or micro economics. But I heard from people in the auto insurance company, in the auto insurance industry, they're saying 80% of the company's revenue goes out to pay for claims. And now people are not on the road as much, so they were able to save a huge number of revenue. That's how they are able to return 20% to the insurance buyers.
Nice.
I didn't get that check.
I know. I'm going to make some calls.
Yeah.
It's silly, isn't it? So you're a big picture guy, which is really helpful, especially during a thing like this virus, because there are a lot of people who have specific information about little, segments of it. But it's really nice. That's what I was kind of looking forward to for today, was to get that bigger picture overview. And I'm really curious. I know that you guys had told us, I don't remember, I know there's a loose connection of, I don't know, I always refer to all of you as Chinese dissidents. I know one of you has led me to the next one and the next one and the next one, and so I assume you all know each other. But you've said right along the way that this virus, and I think you had told us this, it has the ability to crush the CCP.
It is really putting the communist regime in a very precarious position. And the divide is seen not only among rank and file, like employees, many who have lost their jobs, so they are not very, they're not very happy with how the regime is dealing with that. And those in the exporting industry who are producing, who are filling orders from foreign countries and foreign companies or joint ventures within the mainland China, they are not very happy, because even if they are not laid off, they are like their pay has been cut and their orders were all gone. And while the government celebrated how successful it is, how bad the European countries, how the United States, what kind of bad shape these countries are in. But these are these export merchants' clients, right? When these countries are not doing very well economically, and then they lose these Chinese workers and the exporters, they lose others, they lose jobs. So there's this major resentment among
everyday people. Oh, yeah, it all runs downhill. I mean, it starts at the top, works all the way down to the workers, and you can't, at some point, you can't hide it.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
It's almost impossible. We've got to take a really quick break. Sorry, this first one sneaks up on us quickly. But, you know, it's not bad to have a little celebration of capitalism. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Grass or shore, don't get your money's worth. When you show, it happened all right. The Oxy Show.
And you can actually see the show. I thought that was kind of a fun song for that. You can catch us in Reading on Tuesday nights on KRDT, Channel 23.7 on the American Uncensored News Network. So there you have it. All right, Eureka, back to you.
Yep.
We're burning through daylight here, so sorry. We'll let you take it where you want to go.
you're prompting all the good topics, and they kind of form a natural sequence, like one after another. And we were at where how China's leadership, what kind of a precarious situation they are in, and even the top leadership, we could even see from the outside world that we can see there is apparent divide among the top leaders, and there are those who knew that China is not in a position to challenge the United States and to sabotage the international order, because it's going to hurt itself. If you have all the European countries, there are a huge population of Europeans. When they get infected, they're going to place any orders, and then it's going to impact China as well. And you do not win. You just drag the world down with you. And they started seeing that, and they wanted to try to repair relationships with relations with European countries, and those more outspoken ones wanted to repair relationship with the United States. But the overall guideline from the top leadership, Secretary General Xi Jinping, I think he himself, although is not openly like criticizing the United States, but all the propaganda machines that he is in charge of, they are like spinning. They're spinning out all the rumors and the slanders and all the accusations against the United States. So it is quite clear what he wanted to do, and he knows no economics. He doesn't even know military, I think, or military strategy. But he is the one who wanted to take very bold actions. And this probably would be the only way he could avoid being held responsible by other leaders. So he recently made two trips, one to the coastal cities, and that those cities happen to be in the eastern military region, who has long been assigned the task to take over Taiwan. so people outside China observers, they were thinking he could be inspecting those units of PLA soldiers who would be tasked to launch a war if economy China's economy fails to recover and mounting international pressure for like reparations, right, and things like that. And then his second trip was to even more more strategically important location in central China. In that's where his father was one of the first generation revolutionaries who took power in 1949, was probably ranked like among the top 50 or so, and that's the central Chinese province of Shaanxi, Xi'an City, Shaanxi, where I went to elementary school for a year and a half before I came to Shanghai. So I'm familiar with those cities and areas and the mountain ridges over there. He visited that a week ago, and in that central Chinese province, it's just mountainous. Reports in foreign media have had it that there are missile sites there, and if there are any, it must be fairly new. Those weren't like the main ones a while back, like 20, 30 years ago. There weren't major missile sites. But I think he went there to intimidate Chinese oppositions, like within communist leadership. He could be facing opposition for his really like aggressive policies toward Canada, toward European countries, toward Australia, toward the United States. And so he wanted to get ready to tell his opponents, like, okay, you may go ahead and try to resume production, right? Resume work and resume school. But if all fails, if they weren't able to, like, start up the economy, or if foreign pressure continues to mount, and a lot of African countries are now accusing China, because we talked about the northern tip of China, where China borders Russia. Then there's the southern province of Guangdong, where there is a huge black population, and a lot of African, Africans, they somehow got relocated over to that province, to Guangzhou, which is not far away from Hong Kong. And then there were reports that there was an outbreak in the population, which could be 10,000 or more Africans who are living in that area. Sanyuanli is the area, and there could be over a thousand infections among the black population. And Chinese police got used to how they treat Chinese people. We've seen videos like how they treated Hong Kong people, right? So they are treating Africans more or less the same way, though a little less violent, still quite brutal. And a lot of African countries started protesting. Many started reneging, or they wanted to renegotiate debts they owed. And Tanzania, being a typical example, was trying to renege all the debts it owed China. And it wanted to drop out of this Belt and Road Initiative that Secretary General Xi touted as his major diplomatic accomplishments. And Tanzania, the relationship between China and Tanzania went back to the 1970s, when the first generation leaders like Chairman Mao, and when I was a kid, I heard about that country. So China helped them build a railroad, and they built hospitals and other facilities. So it had been a friend of the Chinese government for a long time. Now even that country is not happy how China treats its citizens in China. And more countries know, to judge a regime, a government, or a country, you want to see how it treats its own people. When it treats people in Wuhan, let them die, burn them alive. And then there are cases like I heard from We the People Radio and other dissidents that they harvest organs from dissidents, right? From Uyghurs.
You've done way too many shows on that. I mean, I don't mean that literally. We could, we should do a lot of shows on that. But I consistently speak with people who have never heard of that.
Yeah, and many people they refuse to believe in that, and now. When they were first doing that to Falun Gong practitioners and to other minorities and those prisoners of conscience, people did not stand up and did not voice the concerns. Now they're doing to a larger and a larger population. I believe they're doing a lot to Uyghurs now. And now if we do not stand up for Uyghurs right now, now that they would be like carrying more terrible things. And they were saying there are about 8,000 Hong Kong youth missing, and they could have been shipped over to Uyghur area, or they could be like kept somewhere. And the people started worrying about their organs being harvested.
Yeah.
Because they're so young. They're only in their teens, right? They're teenagers.
And nobody knows where they are?
Right. And they were just missing. And there was one girl who got swept ashore, a young girl. The video caught her being dragged away from campus. Then next people saw her swept. Then not only how she died remains a myth, even her parents are now missing. So, because her mother wanted to take interviews, and now her parents are gone. And so it impacted not just young people, but also their families and their other close relatives and their siblings and their schoolmates. So we really need a I'm not like really asking the current administration, because the United States has issued orders for all U.S. citizens to come back, to return to the United States. So this is a special phase in our life, and also it's national emergency. But after this is over, if we are back to business, and we really need to protect American interest in Hong Kong, if people are missing, then wouldn't American business wouldn't be safe conducting business in such a city?
True.
And
So
no, and that's I think that's information that
because the bad part is we're not used to controlling what we say. We're not really...
No.
Okay, maybe it's just me. Might be speaking for a few other people, but, we're not good at the self-censorship only because we don't have to be. It's a... When we come back, could you also tie that in with the all the cell phones that we keep hearing about that have somehow magically gone offline, if you have information on that?
Okay.
Because that kind of ties into people missing in Hong Kong, too, I think. Okay, we'll be back with our guest, Eureka Young. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, we all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk and some are leather. They're the faces of a stranger, but we love to try them on.
Bye.
Yeah, so on that unhappy note, does this tie into all the missing cell phones, Eureka?
Yeah, the canceled accounts, running into tens of over like 60 million or so, right? Accounts canceled in the first few months of 2020. And also in the in crematories, people found like cell phones. They didn't burn cell phones. They took it out from off the dead bodies, and they were just piling up. And then there are those transient workers who went to Wuhan, and they ran out of money because people were put into like isolation, and they had to pay their for the room and the board. They ran out of money, so they turned in their cell phone, and they in exchange for food and other necessities. And so the there are several explanations. I didn't really go verifying which one. Maybe a combination of all. So one saying goes like the cell phones. The owners of the cell phones, and they were dead, and they died from Wuhan pneumonia, and so their phones like now unattended, and the number they contributed to the total count of drop of a client base of telecommunication companies. That's one source. Then another source was because of a financial strain, they're no longer able to keep multiple phones. So they dropped many phone lines and the numbers. So they dropped that.
Because you have to have a phone there, right? I mean, it's not like a luxury or an optional thing like it is here, where you can have a phone or not have a phone. Is there a requirement that you carry a phone with you all the time in China?
Now, the government wanted to monitor the surveillance. They thought the surveillance cameras aren't enough, because when you go back to your room, right, the street.
Yeah.
Camera wouldn't catch what you're doing, so they installed apps. They call the health code. Without this code, you won't be able to buy an airplane ticket or train ticket or even board a bus. So you have to have an app installed saying that you are healthy, you are not infected with pneumonia, with Wuhan pneumonia, and before you could infected by Wuhan virus. Before you can go anywhere, even go to entering a grocery store, check that.
That's interesting, because
they've kind of floated that here. Yeah. I wonder where they got the idea.
Yeah, they wanted to implement a program like that here, and I don't think it got very far.
Yeah, pretty quick, and it's kind of convenient for control freaks like the communist leaders, and so they installed this. Now, it is a necessity. It is more than a necessity. You won't be able to make payments. You won't be able to even enter the store without a health code. And it keeps track of where you have been, because wherever you go, they have this like a geolocation chip right in there. So it's not necessarily chip, but whatever the GPS type of they use, maybe a different system other than GPS. So they locate you. And whenever you went to a city, telecommunication companies know about it. Then they will tell whether you are healthy. A few months ago, if you happened to Wuhan, then you would get maybe a red code, you probably would get a yellow code. Like people need to be put under observation. Wouldn't get the green code, which would be able to enter grocery stores. So that they are keeping track of people. So this phone, everybody needs to have one. So some couldn't afford more. And then there's a third saying that the military is expanding its recruitment dramatically toward the second half of last year and entering into this year. And when people join the military, like the People's Liberation Army, they need to turn in their phone. They would be using different communication devices, or maybe different service providers with restricted accounts and all that. So these phones, they wouldn't renew their contract. They would just cancel.
Right.
And so these are. Regarding the drafting and the military enlistment, recent reports came out that it's not quite official yet, but the Chinese government really didn't do that. It is from the new graduates who would be graduating summer this year. They started enlisting among college graduates. In Jiangxi province alone, it is a small province without too many colleges. Already over 300 people, graduates, were enlisted. And they would join the army rather than go find a job. There aren't many jobs out there, yeah, as because of the Wuhan virus.
Sure.
And with over 30 provinces, people estimated it would be 100,000 or so new servicemen and women would be enlisted by the PLA. So this also accentuates the split at the top of the communist leadership. Some are preparing for war. They think probably a war would help him consolidate the power. But many are against because they would face economic sanctions among the Western countries, from Western countries. And many started expressing, even the princelings, which is a term to categorize the second generation, the children of the first generation leaders. So Xi Jinping, although he is fifth generation leader, he is the son of the first generation revolutionaries. So people of his age, there are more than, quite a few, not at least in the hundreds or in the thousands if we lower the rank of the first generation revolutionaries. There are a few thousands of those. They want to distance themselves from Secretary General Xi because they did not want their overseas assets to be like, because if U.S., there's a Magnitsky, I think, act that would hold Chinese government officials responsible for the brutal crimes they commit, like those in Hong Kong, right? There's this, there are these laws that would punish Hong Kong officials who attack students, overuse of police force and all that. Although I don't think United States has got around to do that yet. But they started just on April 18th. They arrested 15 pro-democracy activists in Hong Kong. And I'm glad to see that State Department Secretary Pompeo and other U.S. U.S. officials, many in the Congress, they voiced opposition and they condemned this new round of suppression in Hong Kong. So with the PLA ready to move further into Hong Kong and potentially across the Taiwan Strait, so the tension is pretty high, and that is kind of an imminent threat to the world, and as well as a severe confrontation even within the Communist Party. One other thing related to the labs, there was this deputy minister of public security ministry. His last name was Sun, S-U-N, and he was arrested. He was in charge of the security work of Wuhan labs. And it wouldn't be sure. The media, there was very little information about the cause of his arrest. Either he would be responsible for drawing Western government's attention to that P4 lab, or somehow he didn't guard all the secrets. Someone in the lab, they probably escaped or leaked information out. And his wife, I believe, and his children are probably in Australia. And I've noticed the Australian government has been a staunch ally of the United States in demanding WHO to be more transparent, to tell what it did, how it colluded with Beijing, and Prime Minister of Australia also asked all members of WHO to stand up to demand accountability, to hold Tedros, Director General of WHO, accountable for the terrible spread of Wuhan virus. So these are the, these are what's happening in China among its leaders. So the infighting is quite fierce.
Well, just out of curiosity, when they tell everyone, you know, the CIA did it, the American military did it, they've come up with a bunch of stories, when everyone kind of, you know, just doesn't believe them, do they ultimately, I mean, is there a pattern? Do they ultimately just throw one of their own guys under the bus?
They, everybody knows that they are lying. Now they have entered this phase that no Chinese intellectuals would even, like, bother holding them responsible. They just spin out one lie after another. Without external pressure, they probably wouldn't throw anyone, like, as a under the wheel as a scapegoat. But this deputy minister of public security ministry, he was in charge of the suppression of Hong Kong protests and protesters, and he was sent to Wuhan very early in order to suppress any dissenting views among the Wuhan residents.
So he's a two-time loser.
The reprimanding of the doctor who died subsequently. Yep. So I'm not sure what his fate will be.
I have a feeling his cell phone's going to be turned off pretty soon. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. Poor guy. But we have to take one last quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Mr. Eureka Young, and you are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. People in Hong Kong and Taiwan and Singapore and all those guys get to play that song all the time when they want to. So a little programming note. You can find We the People Radio /TV on KRDT channel 23.7 on Tuesday nights on the American Uncensored News Network. Ta-da! Eureka, so you figure the guy that was sent to quell the uprising in Hong Kong and then sent to hush up the Wuhan thing after he flubbed both of those. Has anybody seen him?
Right. Words came out that he was arrested because he was in charge of security. Police, right. They call it the public security forces in China. So Xi Jinping, Secretary General Xi, had to send out secret service, his own, like, palace guards to arrest him. And arrested, like, close to 100 people on April the 1st, but he did not announce that just in case Sun has some staunch supporters. So they waited till April 18th, maybe through some internal cleansing and other preparation work, when all, like, those associated with Sun closely were all kind of more or less under control, then they announced it. Mm-hmm. And this person was involved. He was the head of a domestic security task force, which is a very powerful force. He has a lot of power. All the surveillance cameras and all these things that more or less would report to him, all those in charge of surveillance of each municipalities, provinces, and districts, and neighborhoods. Eventually, he was in charge of the entire web of surveillance within China.
Mm. Yeah, it would be hard to find him, would it? I mean,
not really.
Good soldier has his cell phone on him, and they just come and pick you up.
So within the top leadership, I believe they are playing like a dual strategy. Some are playing soft. They started supplying. We heard fewer stories about defective face masks or testing kits to the United States. They were sending in through air cargo, like good quality products over to the United States. So there are those who wanted to try to continue to get along. So to maybe to get to tide over this very difficult period of after the outbreak of the virus and try to get production resumed. But then they have one like playing a nice cop. Then there's the other bad cop, right, who are trying to prepare for war and try to move to escalate suppression in Hong Kong despite the arrest of the domestic security boss. Of that Sun guy, after his arrest, the policy in Hong Kong didn't change, and so this is a moment that where like the Western countries in the West probably need stand firm, and so as the rulers in Beijing, especially those more aggressive ones, wouldn't think that it is a good opportunity, right? All the U.S. aircraft carriers have left the area, and they're saying like bombers have left Guam and came back to continental United States. So I think I'm glad to see Mark Malley, Joint Chief of Staff, and other DOD spokespeople. They assured American people and American allies in the Far East that United States is always ready, is always 100% ready to defend the United States as well as allies of us. So I'm glad to see that assurance. And those countries, they do need that assurance, and because they're at the forefront. And the bookstore, which triggered this extradition law in Hong Kong, which triggered all the protests, because they want Chinese police, mainland police, they want to come over just to arrest whoever. They arrested the bookstore owner and took him, his last name Lam, the same as the executive of Hong Kong Special District, the same same last name, but he's the bookstore owner. He was abducted into mainland, and after his returning to Hong Kong, they threatened him. You never go public to talk about how they threatened him back there. But he moved to Taiwan. He reopened his store, and all his books had been like sold in advance. People just came, those not yet published ones, people placed advance orders, and those on the shelves were like over half were gone the first few days, and maybe just one day, because I thought it would just open. And the president of Taiwan and their like legislature, just like their speaker of house, similar to that title, that speaker of house in Taiwan, then there's a different title for that, went there to congratulate the bookstore owner for opening up the store. And the president, Dr. Tsai, sent a congratulatory note, and it was displaced. But prior to the opening of the store, people associated with China or sympathetic to communist regime poured red paint on him. So he was showing to the press. I thought it was blood, and then later I learned that it was red paint on his shirt. So people continued to threat him because the arm of the communist regime extends really far. And after the program, I'm going to send you a link about a piece nicely done by The Economist, a British economics journal, and about international economics. And it gave a lengthy story of how China recruited a U.S. diplomat staff, a staffer on U.S. Working for State Department, who was stationed in Shanghai and Beijing, and how they took advantage of her financial needs and gradually trapped her to providing information to Chinese government. So their hands are extending out really long, and then there's the disinformation about the what the United States did, and I believe they have planted a lot of people specially trained, because they talked the same talking points when attacking the United States, when interfering into a midterm election in 2018, now interfering into the general election in 2020. Mm-hmm. They are following same talking points. They're saying like, oh, they are very quick. As soon as there's some reports here saying like President Trump owed the Bank of China 20 million or something like that, 12 million or so, then Chinese media would come out. But here, I saw Breitbart came up with a clarification saying that loan was part of the normal business, and it was that loan had a long time ago been taken over by Wells Fargo. And the Bank of China is like already was out of picture years ago. And that transaction was like 5, 6, 7 years ago when President Trump was a businessman, right, and a real estate developer. But I don't think you were saying whether China would hold anyone spreading lies and slandering responsible. No, they wouldn't. I'm going to go back and check their state media, see if it ever came up with any clarification that President Trump owes not a penny to Bank of China.
But
I'm doubtful that they will even bother.
No, I'm sure they wouldn't, yeah. And I'm sure our media probably wouldn't spend a lot of time clarifying that either. I mean, it gets back to the fake news. I'm really glad that you're letting our listeners know about some of this stuff, because it's issues that nobody else is talking about.
And if they are, it's like they're not really getting into it, so the people can understand it.
Yeah, it's important to know who we're dealing with here, because it's not quite as rosy as
yeah,
our
media.
Yeah,
so we don't just fall back into the same old thing again.
Exactly.
Thank you, Eureka. We really appreciate you coming on with us today, and we will talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's my pleasure always.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find.